Thanks for listening to Everyday Relationships. You can visit us at everydayrelationships.com. Also, we'd love to know your thoughts on this program. You'll find a brief survey on Facebook at Everyday Relationships Radio or on Twitter at Focus Every Day. Welcome to Everyday Relationships from Focus on the Family with Dr. Greg Smalley and Susie Larson.
Welcome to today's show. We are thrilled that you have joined us. We are here every day to help you live out God's greatest commandment, to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as you love yourself. I'm Dr. Greg Smalley, joined, as always, by author and speaker Susie Larson. Hey, this is the day to pick up the phone, that little cell phone, that phone at home, because we're taking your calls live, and we're standing by to help you in terms of whatever is going on in your life, whatever relationship challenge or problem, or if we could just encourage you in some way, we'd love to do that. So marriage problems, parenting, work-related, anything, we'd love to give you some just hopefully very godly wisdom.
That's right. The phones are open. Here's the number, 855-273-5283. Again, it's 855, the number 2, the word relate. And remember this, you can also leave a voicemail for us on that same number during non-broadcast hours. Leave us a message with your question, and we just might use it on a future broadcast. And if you'd prefer to email, here's the address, everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. I want to hear a call from you. Maybe you've got a topic that's on your heart. Here's the number again, 855-273-5283. And Greg, you were saying before the show that you had one of the best family times ever this past weekend. I'd love to hear about it.
I did. You know, it was great on, you know, for so many families right now, spring break is here. And so that was kind of the beginning for my family here in Colorado Springs. Our oldest daughter, who's in college in Phoenix, Taylor was home, and we went skiing. So we went up into the mountains of Colorado, and we had just the best time. Our youngest daughter, Annie, this is her second time to ski, so she was in all-day ski school, and so it was the rest of the family, we just played and laughed, and it was great, you know, riding the time sitting next to Taylor, you know, my 20-year-old, just riding up the ski lift. It was just awesome, just the conversations that we had and just the laughter. And as a matter of fact, at one point, I was kind of taking Garrison, my 13-year-old son, and Taylor through some trees, and Taylor forgot to duck and just, you know, hit like a branch, but just wiped her out. And I could hear her go, hey, a branch, you know, and then she, you know, that was it. I just saw this puff of
and
white
And your mercy gift
smoke.
Was spewing everywhere, right?
Exactly. So I still am mocking her about that. But I tell you, the funniest part of the whole trip, so Annie at 6, so second time to ski, in ski school all day, we pick her up, and so it's like 4 o'clock, and said, hey, let's do one more run, Annie, with you. And so we take her up the chairlift. So I'm sitting next to her, and just loving it. I've got my little 6-year-old with me, and we're just talking and laughing. And so I said, okay, honey, in just a moment, as we get ready to get off the chairlift, you know, you're going to push off like you practice. And I said, can you do that? She apparently thought that I meant now.
Oh, no.
She pushes off and is gone.
Goodness.
Like, we were close
goodness.
To getting off, but we weren't yet there. So she's gone.
She's can do. I can jump.
Yeah. And, I mean, she gets run over by the ski lift.
Oh, my
word. I mean, it was terrible. I mean, just in one instant, she's gone. And I looked at Taylor. I'm like, okay, that's not exactly what I meant. I might need to rethink those instructions.
Oh,
but we got her. She was fine.
She's a little go-getter.
But I tell you what, the little thing. A missile. I mean, literally no one but me could keep up with her. And just it was so much fun just to see her just flying down.
She's a natural athlete.
Oh,
and
so
I have to say, I saw Erin's pictures on Facebook, and what a dolly face with her little goggles and her stuff. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But I'll never forget. Okay, Annie, here, you know, push off like this. Just off,
gone.
I mean, it had been earlier, if I'd been instructed, she would have been 20 feet off the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
And done this. So,
God bless her.
Yeah,
wow.
So. Don't call if you have a question about how do we communicate better in relationships. So,
maybe you have a family memory that went different than you thought. We'd
yeah,
love
exactly.
to hear from you. 855-273-5283. 855-273-5283. We'd love to hear from you. So while we wait for those calls to come in, we've got some emails. And this one, actually, this email relates to a marriage in crisis. It says, my wife and I have been separated for about 3 months. My wife has filed for divorce, and I'm waiting receipt of the papers. As a soon-to-be ex-husband, I'm grappling with bitterness over the divorce and the fact that my wife is apparently very easily moving through her decision to end our marriage. I'm trying to come to grips with knowing that one day my wife will be with someone else. How does God want me to behave toward her during this time? And how do I stay honoring to God amidst these feelings of anger and frustration? I don't want to get divorced. Oh, that's heartbreaking.
It is. You know, I'm so sorry you're going through this divorce when obviously this isn't what you want. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, that, Susie, this is like a death. Mm. And so you can just hear the pain. In his question, you know, one of the things it sounds like he's really struggling with is, you know, how can she easily move on? And, you know, I tell you, for women especially, you know, when they finally, if they file, or, you know, for divorce, or if they finally separate, usually, you know, they have hung in there a long time until the point that their heart is usually completely hardened. And so when someone appears like that they're just moving on with ease, I'm telling you that you have to recognize that where the state of her heart. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you that her heart hardened a long time ago. And so the apathy, I mean, all that, you can just kind of sense that. And so I say that to encourage him just to understand what's really going on. It's not a statement about you or about the lack of love that she ever had for you, or just, you know, you were so easy to forget. Look how easy I can move on. He can't personalize it that way. He really needs to understand that her heart is hardened, and that's what happens. And that's why Jesus said that Moses permitted you to divorce because of the hardness of your heart. And that's often what makes this season for this couple so challenging. And, you know, but I tell you what, Susie, boy, I've seen such amazing miracles happen. And just because someone's heart is closed, hardened, it doesn't mean it has to be the death of that marriage. But again, I mean, he can't force her to open. He can't force her to choose to, like, go to a marriage intensive or something that can really make a difference.
Yeah, really to make a difference is to not act out in that anger and frustration with her. I mean, deal with it with somebody else. You know, just today on my show, I talked with a best-selling author and pastor, Kyle Eidemann. He's got this book called Aha, and it's about these moments of awakening, but it really is sounding the alarm moments where, and we don't want to hear the alarm. And how often, and wives do this, where they sound the alarm, but maybe the husband doesn't hear it, and it's vice versa as well.
Sure.
And, you know, my hubby, when he was in that workaholism state, he got cancer, and he said, God loved me so much, he put me on my back so I could look up. That was a sound the alarm moment.
That's
and
right.
I think that maybe this gentleman's email can serve notice for those listening today whose spouses are trying to sound the alarm, because, you know, we don't always want to hear it. But that might be just a note to self, right, where we pay attention to some of those alarms sounding. But so how about him? What are some ways, other than not acting out of his anger so he doesn't chase her away, what can he do to at least keep the door open?
Yeah, you know, I would answer it this way. I think that what God wants from him is to have his heart stay open. And that's very, very hard. I mean, certainly he feels rejected. He's grieving the loss of his marriage. I mean, there's so much pulling that heart of his closed. And what he doesn't want is to see that heart of his hardened. Because I really, you know, I believe that our destiny, you know, as men and women here on earth is love. If I could summarize it all the way down, I mean, that's why we always start with the show, with the greatest commandment. That's, you know, to love God, to love others, to love self. I mean, that's our destiny, is to love. And so my encouragement to him is in this season, surrounding himself with other godly men to encourage him to continue to love her, even when he's being rejected. Now, the good news is that Christ said that he, you know, is a husband that we are to love our wife as Christ loved the church. I mean, you think about how the church rejected Christ. I mean, literally, we ended up killing him. I mean, that's about as extreme form of rejection as you can have. And yet Christ continued to love unconditionally, you know, with an open heart, the church, and that's a good model. So what does that mean? To serve her, to sacrifice to her, to keep loving her unconditionally? I mean, you know, when we love someone, it's not dependent, right, upon their, you know, what they do back. It's not dependent upon their response. And so I think that's his goal. How he gets there is a lot of what we talk about. Thus, he has to make sure that he's taking such great care of himself, That almost sounds selfish, right? Like, what? Mm-hmm. But it's really that, you know, as we talk about in the greatest commandment, he needs to care for himself spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally. I mean, that's the battle. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, when it really comes down to it, you know, spiritually, you know, use this time to say, God, I want my marriage, but she's closed. I can't change that. So what am I learning? What are you teaching me? How am I going to grow? He has such a great opportunity just to grow,
yeah.
You know, and to become more Christ-like, you know, emotionally. To, you know, you talked about it. It's not that we're not to be angry. It's that we're not to sin in our anger. So
yeah.
How is he really managing his emotions and getting the good support? And, you know, I mean, read Hosea chapter 2, starting at verse 14. You see how God won back his unfaithful wife, you know, Israel. And there's some good stuff in there. So I think if he's really taking care of himself to keep his heart open, I think he's doing the job that God wants him to do.
Indeed. You know, I'm thinking of Psalm 139, too. Search me, O God, and know me. Get into Psalm 139 and just dare to sit with God and say, show me how I contributed to this. And let him speak to you. Then go speak to her. I think that would go a long ways to say, this is how I believe I've offended you. Will you forgive me? No matter what you choose to do. This is Everyday Relationships. It's open phone days. Want to hear from you. 855-273-5282. 83, and we'll be right back. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. Glad to have you along with us today. It is Open Phones Day, where we take your calls. You get to decide what we're going to talk about. Here's the number, 855-273-5283, 855-273-5283. Put that number in your phone. You can call anytime it works for you during non-broadcast hours. If it's just easier for you to leave us a voicemail, and we can answer that question on a future show. Otherwise, you can post a question. I'll be checking our Facebook page throughout the show, and that page is Everyday Relationships Radio. And finally, one more way to get through to us is the email, everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. And you were saying, we had that email before the break, Greg, about this husband whose wife is filing for divorce. And he's like, I don't want the divorce. And we were saying, you know, I know plenty of people are probably listening that have either been in that situation or are in that situation. And we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you've learned something, and or maybe you are on your way to divorce, and somehow, some way, God redeemed that relationship, and you guys made the choice to give it another go. We'd love to hear your story as well. 855-273-5283. Or if you've got a question for Greg today, we're ready to take it. In the meantime, here's another email. We get lots of emails. We so appreciate that. This one is from a couple who can't seem to find unity over finances. They write, how can my husband and I get on the same page as far as finances and budgeting? I take care of the bills. I tell him how much money we have, when we need to watch our spending, and things like that. But he doesn't seem to listen. Then when there's not enough money in our bank account, I let him know about it, sometimes in not such a nice way. And then he questions why we have a money shortfall, and he blames me. I've tried everything I know to get him to work with me to pay off our debts and work within a budget, and I'm just getting nowhere. Every time we talk about finances, it turns into World War III. Do you have any ideas as to what or how I can do this?
Well, certainly. I mean, first and foremost, understand that you're not alone. I mean, finances are the number one conflict in marriage. And so this is true for a lot of marriages, a lot of relationships. And you know, when she talked about what stood out as you were reading that, you know, I take care of the bills. I tell him how much money we have, when we need to watch our spending. You know, I tell him, he doesn't seem to listen. What I would encourage this couple, especially her, to realize is that, one, that you guys inadvertently, I'm assuming, have created a terrible dynamic that you really got to get out of. And like for her, it's like the relational dynamic is almost that she's the parent, and so she's kind of doling out, you know, allowance, and or she's the only one thinking about the finances, and any role like that. I mean, we set this up in other ways. Like Aaron and I had a conversation one time that we realized that sort of somehow we had set up the role that I was kind of the fun parent, she was kind of the disciplinarian. And the more and more that went on, it almost like the more extreme that became. And so the kids knew to, you know, come to me when they wanted to have fun, and they knew to, Yeah, well, I'm not sure they were going to her.
Knew to avoid her when they were going to get disciplined.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. it created a terrible relational dynamic because Aaron was like, hey, I remember the one we had this conversation. She's like, hey, I'm fun too. And, you know, and I think we just realized that just for whatever reason, we were operating in those roles that became extreme. That's what you want to avoid. There's nothing wrong. Because everybody's different. There's nothing wrong with having roles that we play. But I think what you're trying to guard against when those become extreme, and I would say it sounds like in their case, they are extreme. That she's the one that thinks and manages and decides and everything around the finances. And he's kind of, you know, he doesn't have to be responsible. Now, I'm not saying that he's not a responsible person. So understand that. I'm not questioning his heart or who he is as a person. I'm just saying sort of they've just kind of created this dynamic. Didn't you get that sense?
Yes.
It was kind of like, hey, you know what? You know, when you give me my allowance and I don't like it, or, you know, I'm going to push back. It just, that's the roles that they've got to get. They've got to change this dynamic.
When you look at even your example, you know, because Erin is a blast. She's so much fun. But the unfair imbalance there, where she's kind of put in a position to have to discipline and you're not in the position to discipline. It seems similar here, where she maybe doesn't have the grace to do the finances. And so in her lack of grace, she's reacting to him. Well, he doesn't feel like being the child or being dictated to. So he's like, I'm a grown up. I can spend. I make some of this money. I'm almost wondering.
So they're in a power struggle.
Yeah, I almost wonder if they need to just do a switch for a while, and he manages the finances, and just so that he has an awareness, and maybe God will give him the grace.
Perfect.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is exactly that. I'd get out of that role. I would absolutely sit down and renegotiate kind of how finances are managed in their family. And I would encourage her, stop being that financial manager. I would start at the very beginning. They can step back and talk about that. Hey, we're on the same team here. Let's figure out how to work out. I would tell them, though, to take a class like a Dave Ramsey. I would do everything by cash in this family. I think that's the only thing that's really going to change things immediately. And just say, hey, here's the cash for the month, and here, you know, divide it out to, you know, bills and all that stuff. Whatever's left over is left over. And they can decide together how they're going to spend it.
Okay, we've got a caller. Christine's calling in from Grand Forks, North Dakota, with a question for you today. Christine, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My daughter is 20 years old. She's lived at home with me her whole life. She has a 2-year-old daughter. The father's not in the picture at all. She's paying some rent, working nights, sleeping during the day. And I'm having some difficulties motivating her to help take care of her daughter during the day and also living up to her responsibilities around the house.
Boy, that's a hard situation. Christine, I would say, boy, what a gift that you're giving her. And so thrilled that you've opened up your home, that you've given her a place, you've given, you know, your granddaughter a place. That's amazing, because that's not easy. You know, you lose, you know, it's your space, and I mean, you're sharing that's amazing. Christine, let me ask you this. How's the relationship between you and your daughter? I mean, are you guys able to sit down and kind of have good, serious conversations, or is it strained, or how would you clarify or classify your relationship?
It's a little strained because it seems like every time I want to sit down and have a talk with her, she gets really defensive, like I'm attacking her.
Hmm. Okay. Which as for a 20-year-old who's still trying to kind of figure out who they are and yet she's had to move back in. I mean, there's probably a lot of dynamics that would make your relationship at this stage kind of strained. And that's okay on one level, that's helping her kind of figure out some things about who she is and how she's wanting to do life. But yet she lives with you, and so that's also difficult. So you're asking how do we have the conversation? What should I do in terms of how do I, you know, talk to her about some concerns that I have? Is that what you're asking?
How do I positively motivate her to take a more active role in her own life, really?
Okay. All right. Well, let's do this, Susie. When we come back, I think there's a couple things that I would really encourage Christine to be able to do to help positively motivate her daughter. So I think that there's some things that definitely can help out.
Indeed. And Christine, you are not alone. You can hang up and listen. Greg will address the rest of that on the other side. Here's the number. If you've got a question for Dr. Greg today, 855-273-5283, 855-273-5283. And I'm on the Everyday Relationships Radio Facebook page right now. I'll be looking for your question if it's easier to post it there. And the email address is everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. Dr. Greg Smalley and I will be back in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in today. This is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson, and it's all about you today. You got a relationship question for us? Here's the number, 855-273-5283, 855-273-5283. Put that in your phone. You can even call during non-broadcast hours. Leave us a voicemail, and we'll address that question on a future show. Stephen, you're up next. We're going to take your call in just a moment. Real quick, though, before the break, we had a caller, Christine. She's got a 20-year-old daughter of her own. So Christine's daughter is 20 years old, staying with her. Christine's daughter also has a little girl. Christine's daughter works throughout the night, and so she sleeps during the day, and Christine needs help with this daughter. How do I motivate her to engage with her little girl so it's not all on Christine? You said you had a few pieces of advice to help her motivate her daughter to get involved with her daughter.
Yeah, Christine, I think always the place you want to begin is you always first want to just check and just spend a little bit of time in prayer, a little time thinking. If you have a close friend, just even saying, hey, help me think this through. Just look first at how you are interpreting what your daughter's doing is that she seems to be not to be motivated. So you're asking, how do I motivate her? Just make sure that that's not some of your own stuff in there. Because, again, I'm not saying it is, but a lot of times I interpret other people's behavior as I notice what they're doing through my own lens, my own filter. And so you just want to notice, to be aware, is any of your own stuff being stirred up? Maybe your expectations were a certain way. That's your stuff. Maybe there's some fears coming out, you know, maybe based on your childhood, you're watching, you know, patterns being repeated. I don't know. I'm just saying start there. Just look at, you know, kind of my own stuff. Am I misreading this? Am I misinterpreting this? Am I assigning different meaning? I think as you look at that and you still feel a peace from the Lord saying, no, this is really what's going on. You know, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And so as you sit down to have that conversation with your daughter, you have to approach it first from a standpoint of really caring, of empathizing, putting yourself in her shoes. Honey, what is this like at 20? Dad's not in the picture. You have a two-year-old. Imagine you have all these hopes and dreams and stuff that you thought was going to happen, and here's your reality. That's got to be hard. Some people aren't motivated because of fear. They're paralyzed. I mean, you could even ask, you know, this has to be hard. I know that our children, our young adults at 20, they so want to know that we believe in them, that we are proud of them, that we love them, that when we look at them, that we know that they're going to go places. And so even by making some of those statements, I think she maybe will be a little less defensive. I would ask her and just say, hey, I could be wrong, but here's some of the things that concern me. I'm looking at some behaviors you're doing. And to me, it comes across this way. Just help me understand. Maybe I'm misreading that. Maybe you're paralyzed. Maybe whatever. And just approach it as a help me understand. Because I think that allows you then to really to empathize and to care about how she feels, not so much whatever the ultimate decision needs to be. I think you need to end by really deciding, are you making her life too easy? I mean, certainly as a single mom, that's tough, and you're giving her an amazing gift. But are you enabling her to not have to be motivated and to not engage because you're doing all that? And again, she looks up to you. You've been a mom for a long time. Maybe she's feeling intimidated that my mom interacts with my daughter better than I could, so I'll just kind of passively let her do it and kind of abdicate. I would look at all that, but you might have to decide that you're making life too easy and there needs to be a time limit on how long she can stay with you before she needs to get her own place and do things her own way. And it'd be very hard for me to have gone back into my parents' home with my own child and to do it all right because they do it so well. Susie, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's
yep.
just, it'd be very hard to do that. So, I mean, that could even be inadvertently, Christine does all this stuff so well and she's so competent that how can I live up to that? So I'll just kind of sit in the background and let mom do it. And so I think that that's a part of what she's really looking for is how, Christine, how are you maybe contributing to maybe some of the passivity that your daughter is displaying, if that's really what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I think the more that, you know, that she can do that, because Susie, as I'm talking, I just could only imagine, and maybe that's a part of, Christine, your conversation with your daughter, is I can only imagine how hard this is. I mean, not only is life different than maybe you had planned or wanted, but now being here at home, you know, watching me and trying to live up to whatever's going on, that's probably really hard. What's that like for you? And I think that could potentially give them some good things to talk about.
Good advice, Christine. I hope that was helpful for you, Stephen. We still see you there on Answer Your Question as well. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. It is Open Phones Day, so you decide what you want to talk about. You got a relationship question? We'd love to hear from you. 855, the number 2, the word relate. 855-273-5283. You can also email us at everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com, and we will be right back. Tuning in today, this is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. Glad to have you along with us today. It's all about you today. You got a relationship question? We'd love to hear from you. 855-273-5283. We've got Stephen calling in from St. Paul, Minnesota. Love to hear from you, Stephen. Thanks for waiting, and give us your question.
Thank you. Well, my wife and I, we used to read the Bible regularly, and through the months and years, it seemed like she developed a bitterness, particularly a few certain passages. And one night, I read a passage out of Leviticus, and she ran out of the house at 11:30 at night. And I was surprised she came back in the middle of the night. But, you know, it's been always told to me to keep a relationship together, to read the Bible together. And it seemed like it just did the opposite.
Hmm. So it almost, for you, it almost seems like, I hear we're reading the Bible together, and it's actually driving her further and further away. Stephen, is your...
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Stephen.
Oh, I was curious about is what for you, what's the issue? Is that we're not able to kind of have the spiritual relationship together, or I'm feeling so disconnected from her? What's kind of the issue for you?
Well, we always had a good relationship, and we met at church, and we've always been, we were both raised in a Christian home, to the best of my knowledge, anyways. And we were very compatible, I thought, she just didn't like some of the verses out of the Bible.
Okay.
It's like, oh, she's never read to her before. She never read it before.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, here's the good news, all right, is that we know very clearly now that there are some core things that have to be happening inside of a marriage to create a healthy, thriving, vibrant relationship. And as a matter of fact, here at Focus, we believe there's about 12. Okay. One of those is a vibrant, shared spiritual relationship. Now, the reason I'm saying it like this is because, Stephen, there's a lot of other things that are also very, very important that need to be happening within the relationship to where I agree with you. I mean, a shared spiritual relationship is very important, but it's not the only thing. And so I would make sure that in addition to trying to figure out how do we connect spiritually, to make sure that you're doing these other things. You know, she needs to know, for example, that you are committed to her for a lifetime. There was nothing that could ever separate us. My love for you, you know, commitment is key. Spending time together, making sure we know how to manage and work through conflicts, making sure that we share the household responsibilities, that we're having positive communication, that she knows that I value her, that I'm learning what are her needs emotionally, and am I meeting those? In other words, there's a lot of other things that you need to be doing as well. And that's the good news, is that your success is not dependent upon one thing. Now, even within your spiritual relationship, it sounds like, well, if somehow you guys aren't really connecting around reading the Bible, I mean, you know, maybe it's that you're really just praying together at this point, that you're listening to a podcast of a sermon, you're going to church, you're part of a small group. And so you're looking for other ways to connect then with her spiritually. And that's the good news, is that it's not just, well, I've got to read the Bible and there's some verses. I would quit doing that with her. You keep doing that, but look for, a million other ways that we can connect. As a matter of fact, I would argue that praying together is a couple far, you know, not that it's more important than reading the Bible, but that boy, that's an important part. So I would also just ask her, dig in a little bit and say, hey, it seems at times as I've read these, that's really been frustrating for you or hurt you, you know, kind of help me to better understand what that was about, just to understand what's going on for her.
I think that's just critical. Just thinking as a woman, you know, there are verses, if they're taken out of context or read at a bad time or season in your marriage, that could feel like an indictment. They could just land in a way that you don't mean them to.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, I think praying always cultivates safety. And even if she doesn't want to pray, I'd say, put your hand on her shoulders. I want to just pray for you.
Absolutely.
But you wonder, you know, what in Leviticus, something might have said something that set her off. And you want, like you always talk about, you want to cultivate safety. And so I love what you've said. There's all these other ways to create a safe place for her. And you keep reading the word, keep praying with her. But, you know, there are great books you can go through, like Draw the Circle.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness, with Mark Batterson, that revolutionized Kevin and I in our prayer life. So lots of other ways that will feel like an invitation to walk this journey together.
Yeah, and even there are seasons that our spouse may just be going through something with the Lord and they're angry, they're hurt, and they're not wanting to connect that way. That's okay. You continue to pursue God in that relationship and focus on how are we connecting? How are we building our marriage? How are we creating intimacy, in other ways? And like I said, that's a season. I'm not saying, well, then never pursue a spiritual relationship, but sometimes, you know, it's okay to take a break. You know, you keep doing that. Your job is to keep loving the Lord and pursuing Him and loving her and let God work in her heart and to change whatever is going on kind of for her around some of those verses or spiritually. And I think, you know, I think if you make your focus on there are a lot of things that I need to do, that I have an opportunity to do as a husband to continue to love you, to serve you, to sacrifice for you, to build our relationship, to go on date nights, to, you know, there's so much that they can be doing that I just would not allow this to almost take on this whole other power and it consumes us because we're not able to make a bigger statement
exactly, than it means, you know.
Yeah, don't let the evil one tell you that, oh, then you guys aren't going to make it and you're never going to have the intimacy. You create that in so many other ways. And then as she sees that you continue to live out your faith, how God is making a difference in your life, God will work on her heart. You guys, hopefully down the road, will really be able to get back to reading the Bible together. But yeah. Susie, to your point, there's a lot of other amazing ways that we can have a spiritual relationship other than just simply reading the Bible.
And, you know, just to be truthful, Leviticus is probably one of the toughest books to read. I mean, you have to be in a good mindset of remembering God's love when you're reading about these laws, you know. And so there's a lot of other, even books in Scripture that
go
you can
New
read.
Testament.
Yeah, go New Testament.
Go New Testament on her.
That's right. When we come back, we'll have time for the wrap for one last question. So appreciate the calls and the emails. Love to hear from you. If you want to send an email, here's the address, everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. Back for the wrap in just a moment. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We've had a great conversation today, sorting through your emails, taking your calls. Thanks for calling in. We got time for one last email, and this listener's struggling to recover from a recent breakup. And she writes, "My self-esteem is suffering, to say the least. My boyfriend of 3 years recently broke up with me. He said it was because he's no longer attracted to me. I know it was the best thing for both of us, but now I feel like no one will ever be attracted to me again. What can I do to get past the hurt?" What do you say, Greg?
You know, a 3-year relationship ending, that's very difficult, but ouch. I mean, to be told that I'm no longer attracted to you. I mean, on one hand, I'm glad you said that now and they can deal with this. For her, understand it's going to take some time. I mean, a 3-year relationship, that's going to take some time to grieve the loss. I would encourage her, not to run back to him. I would say literally no contact. Every time she has contact, she's going to reopen the wound. Not that he even wants contact. I'm just saying, be very careful. I would say the biggest thing though in this is that, to sit down and go, okay, he said that he's no longer attracted to me. I'm not going to let Satan take that and make that a lie written on my heart.
That's right.
Because this man is not the source of truth in your life. God is the source of truth. And so what I would do is I would spend a lot of time and ask God, how do you see me? What is true? What am I learning? How are you using this 3-year relationship to grow me more like you? What am I taking away? The reality is this, is that here's what I know to be the truth. But again, I'm not the source of truth. So check all this out with God. That God is amazingly attracted to you. The Bible says that God loves us and that he has a wonderful plan for life. I mean, love has to have an object, and thus, we are the object of God's affection. I mean, God says in Jeremiah, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I mean, he's drawn to us in everlasting kindness. I love in Zephaniah. Hey, when you can pull out a great verse out of Zephaniah, you are
That's
having a
impressive.
Good day. Okay, it says, "The Lord your God is with you. He will take great delight in you." I mean, delight, that's attraction. In this love, in his love, he will rejoice over you with singing. If that's not attraction, Susie, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
But she needs to really go through, and I would encourage her, really spend some time going through the Bible and looking for those verses that speak to how God feels about her. This is a God that took his only son and sent him to die for her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that's not attraction, love, I don't know what is. I think the more that she really understands that, I think that's how she's guarding her heart. And lean into your family and friends, asking them how they see you, allow them to really love you. And I think that's how she's going to continue to heal her heart.
And I would just add, spend some time on your physical health and your spiritual health just for you. Dig in, send your roots down, get some exercise for you. And that will help your outlook as well. Thanks to everyone who called in and emailed. And many thanks to you who are part of the program today and tomorrow, because we want to hear from you. Next time we're talking about men in unemployment and career crisis. Be sure to tune in next time. Have a blessed afternoon.